So there's a verse that talks about being a mother without being a biological mother. And all women have the possibility of being mothers in a real emotional, spiritual sense to people, even if they're not physical moms, even if they've never given birth. So there's a thought. We all can be physical or spiritual, emotional moms and dads to people if we simply pay attention to people. Where they are, what's happening in their lives, what God is doing, what the frontiers are. We can be a mom and a dad. What a glorious thing, even though we've never been the biological parent. So there is enormous potential for all of us. Whether you're 18 or whether you're 82, we all can be parents to other people. Because the potential is really huge. The potential is enormous. The potential is unlimited. D.L. Moody said, "The world has yet to see what the living God can do to a man who's fully committed to Him." And I want to be that. And that's what Moody said. I want to be that guy, as fully as humanly possible, to be that person. All of us, hopefully, aspire to that. And, you know, we've been talking about knowledge and knowledge of the Lord. And knowledge is powerful. Knowledge is really powerful. The Spanish conquistador said, "Give me gold, or I turn out the sun." Well, he was aware there was a solar eclipse coming, you see. So he turned a fast buck on his knowledge. On his knowledge. And of all the knowledge that we could ever accumulate, the most powerful knowledge is knowledge about the living God. You experiencing the living God. The potential is absolutely unlimited. I give you a second example. An illustration of how knowledge is very powerful. Christy Mathewson was an all-around athlete at Bucknell College. He went on to specialize in baseball. In the 1905 World Series, he pitched 3 shutouts, a record that still stands today. A young ball player, fresh from the minor leagues, came to bat one day when Mathewson was pitching for the New York Giants. It was a great experience for the young man as he faced the greatest pitcher in baseball. 4 at-bats resulted in an amazing 3 hits. He was mobbed by adoring fans. Leaving the grounds, an old veteran of the diamond swung in to step alongside the happy young man and said, "You remember what balls he gave you when you collected those 3 hits?" "No," laughed the young man. "I was too busy getting down to first base. Besides, why should I?" "Well, Christy will," replied the veteran as he dropped out of step without a trace of a smile. In the next 23 at-bats, Mathewson, the rookie never got a hit. Mathewson learned batters quickly. What you learn quickly. What we learn about God is the most powerful knowledge we can ever have. Would you look for a moment at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3? Somebody read that in a nice big one, okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3.
"Divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature." Sorry, I don't have my glasses on.
That's
"Having
good.
Escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire."
Thank you. "According as the divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and knowledge, so the knowledge of Him who's called us to glory and virtue." Again, there's an emphasis upon the mind, what you know, what you've experienced, what you have in your mind about the living God, what you know about Him. Very interesting. And then it goes on to say that we become partakers of the divine nature. Now, there's some mystery there, isn't there? If I lost my right arm, would I lose that mystery? We become partakers of the divine nature in my arm or my left leg, or, I mean, if I'm a quadriplegic, lose everything, you know, I don't know. Where do you feel divine? Sometimes I have days that I don't feel too divine. There is a mystery there, but it says we become partners or partakers of the divine nature. Now, that is a statement of biblical truth. Whether you feel it, whether you sense it, Whether you experience it or not, we become partakers of the divine nature. And I don't tingle. I don't levitate. I don't float when I've been really good one day, you know. And I don't lose 3 pounds when I've been a really good boy, you know. I wish I did, but it doesn't work that way. This is a mysterious thing, but it is a statement of Scripture. We become all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who's called us to glory and virtue, and we become a partaker of the divine nature. And I think that's just really, really something. So, again, we move back into Ephesians chapter 1, and we are in verse 11. We're working on this section here. Let me just read for sake of emphasis here. For this reason, verse 15, Philippians or Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints and His incomparable power for those of us who believe. You notice He's talking about love there in verse 15. I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. We closed last week quoting Mr. MacArthur when he said, important as it is, sound doctrine is no substitute for love. Without love, the best doctrine is like a noisy, gong or a clanging cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. The New Testament defines love as an attitude of selfless sacrifice that results in glorious acts of kindness toward others. After washing the disciples' feet, our Lord said in effect, I've set you an example of how you are to love each other. Faith and love must be kept in balance, monks and hermits. By the way, you realize I proposed to you last week that I would be kind of reading to you a little bit more than I normally do, and I'm trying a new style, so you can let me know how you feel about it next week, after next week. There are papers on the table, so if you want to just track with me, that's fine. If you don't want to take your paper home, that's fine. We'll just put it in the drawer and pull them back out next Sunday. If you don't think you'll study it between Sundays, just might be better just leave it here so it's ready for next week, okay? Monks and hermits. Are you following? Are you see where we are there? Page 3. And ascetics. What's the word ascetic mean?
Ascetics.
Ascetic. What is an ascetic? Monks and hermits and ascetics. What does the word ascetic mean? Kind of guy who does without, you know. A person who's trying to punish the body to become more spiritual. People who retired from life to live in caves and that kind of a thing. A kind of a very non-materialistic life. That's an ascetic approach to trying to be spiritual. Monks and hermits and ascetics sought to keep their faith pure by being separated away from the world. But such isolation means they do not reach out to people. You see, Paul's point here in verse 15 is love for people. I've heard about your love for the brothers. Now, ascetics, how do you love the brothers if you're, you know, retired? Sometimes such people become heresy hunters, hypercritical, and seem eager to tear down what is wrong, but do little to build up what is good. Verse 15, anything else on 15? We're going to make it to 16 today? I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. To remember, to pray is to remember who owns the house. God does. If Paul did not stop praying 24/7, that means, I suggested last week, it probably was the Jewish custom of 3 times a day, okay? 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, glory refers to how God makes himself known. For example, Shekinah glory was how God revealed himself. So this phrase seems to mean the Father who reveals himself. So we could read verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who reveals himself. The classic passage in this is Exodus 33, beginning at 17. That's where Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. I want to know you. You remember that passage? And God passed by and God covered him a little bit and let him kind of see out the little bit of, you know, and just see a little bit of God's glory.
In the classic passage, Moses wanted to see God and know God. God wanted to reveal himself to Moses, and the text says that God showed Moses his glory, meaning himself. So, to some degree, God is the giver who gives himself. The greatest gift we can have is God. And as he gives himself to us, as we give ourselves back to him, he gives himself back to us. Did you notice in John chapter 2, that passage where Jesus, the break at chapter 3 is not a good break. You look at John 2, end of John 2. And what I'm working on here for just a moment is this matter of God giving himself, the self-revealing one, the greatest gift, God. That's what I'm kind of working on now. You notice verse 23 there, chapter 2, verse 23? Now, while he was in Jerusalem with the Passover, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles, but Jesus did not entrust himself or give himself to them. He knew all men. He did not need any man to testify about himself, for he knew it was in man, there was a man. Chapter 3, verse 1. The break, the chapter break, probably should have occurred to verse 23 rather than at verse 1, you see, of John chapter 1. Because you got a man, and or you got people in general, and in chapter 3, verse 1, you've got a specific man out of the crowd, you see. Now, the point I'm working on here is, but Jesus did not entrust himself. He didn't give himself. As we give ourselves to him, he gives himself back to us. Okay?
Or to be given the gift of God.
God himself. That's the ultimate gift. Okay. Any thoughts? You guys are pretty quiet this morning. I need to give you a chance to talk here. Yes.
You know, it might be a silly thought, but I remember you sharing back, I don't know how long ago it was, but the idea of not only reading the Word, but reading it aloud so that it comes into the brain, comes out of the mouth, and goes back in through the ears.
Uh-huh.
It reminded me of what you just said about God. How did you just say that just now? As we press into him, he gives us more of himself, kind of an idea?
Yeah.
Paraphrasing it, but...
Yeah, yeah. The idea is that Jesus did not give himself to these people. So apparently the implication is he did give himself to other people. As people gave themselves to Jesus, Jesus gave himself back to them.
Right, and that's kind of what the idea of the... I know it's a silly analogy, it doesn't really fit necessarily, but I love the idea of it because it's kind of like as you drink in his word.
Uh-huh.
By speaking it out loud, it comes back into you, and it just keeps growing. I don't know, that's the first thought I just had a minute ago, and I thought, that's a beautiful example of who God is to us.
Well, in the life of a believer, like God is a relationship. You know, it's not just we were saved, so now everything's static from then on. No, mm-hmm. It's dynamic. It's a relationship.
It's dynamic, and it does not...
draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you.
Yeah. And there's no parking in neutral, is it? I mean, we got to be working this. It's like being on a river. Either you're rowing against the current and our old natures, or we're floating down the river. active Christian life.
It's, love is not just like, oh, I love you and that's it. It's like an action, you know?
Yeah.
It's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
love is an action, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It becomes an emotion. Hopefully there's an emotional impact to it. But the Bible doesn't say that for God so loved the world that he got all choked up about it, you know? It says for God so loved the world that he
gave.
Love is giving, you know? So love is an action. Thank you, Claudia. Anything else? Okay, verse 17. God is the giver who gives himself, verse 17, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Question, is this the Holy Spirit or is this a human spirit? Is this the Holy Spirit who brings wisdom and revelation or the human spirit enabled by God to see the wisdom and revelation he gives? Snodgrass says it's the Holy Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God will continually reveal to the believer knowledge about God. John MacArthur says this is the human spirit. And he argues that the definite article, the word the, is not in the original language. The NIV translators have translated and added the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, meaning the specific Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. But he says the NIV translators supplied that. So the meaning of pneuma, from which we get pneumology, or rather pneumonia and pneumatic, his breath or air. And pneuma can be used as an attitude or a disposition, as in, he's in high spirits. Jesus used this word this way in the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew 5:3. So MacArthur says he's not referring to the Holy Spirit, but to an attitude. Well, Paul prayed, and so you can take your pick, I guess, is on that one.
It's interesting, because my Bible has a capitalized S for spirit.
Uh-huh.
See, mine doesn't.
Uh-oh, we got a war here in this marriage. We got a problem here.
We have the same keyword study Bible that we're working. Well, you haven't. What is your translation? Mine is an ESV keyword study.
Uh-oh, we got the NASB against the
she has the authorized version.
Yeah. Ah. So anyways, I just find it interesting how, you know, this Bible has the word the preceding spirit as well.
Uh-huh.
And spirit is capitalized and underlined, and it gives me a, well, look it up.
What you just said, though, is exactly what my lexicon shows as the reference for that word, but the small s is this pneuma, and I won't say it all, but it's along the lines of what you were just saying.
So I guess you can take your pick on that one, all right?
How can he say it's the human spirit? All wisdom is from God. All revelation is from God. It's from God. It's the Holy Spirit.
Oh, Tracy, you got some aid here on your view.
I stand on the word of God.
How many are for... How many are with Ruth? How many for the spirit, the person spirit? How many think it's, I could flow either way on it? Pan spirit is all going to pan out.
Spirit inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
I like
Paul prays there will be a continual revealing of God to them, revealing the knowledge about God. Hey, you got to read these two verses. We gotta have these two verses in spades, nice and big and loud. You guys, wow. Ushers and greeters are leaving, huh? Time flies. All right. Can somebody read this for us? Particularly verse 9. In fact, just read verse 9, all right?
Just as it is written, things
Verse 12, excuse me. I'm sorry, Rob. Verse 12. This is going to be verse 12, nice and big and loud. 1 Corinthians 2:12.
Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is given from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God.
I paraphrase that last part in your own words, please.
All right. I want to make a distinction here, though. The first spirit in my translation is the small s. The second spirit is the big s.
Okay.
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 So we have a spirit of our own that strives against God's spirit, but we want to be able to have more of God's spirit than our spirit.
Okay. And how about paraphrasing that last part of verse 12 for me? You already closed your Bible. Somebody else have it? And they're bailing out. Whoa. Who's got the last part of verse 12? 1 Corinthians 2:12.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. That we might understand the things freely given us by God.
That we might understand what God has freely given us. You see, that's what Paul's praying here. He's praying that they would get it. We're praying that I would get it, that you would get it. See, because the potential is huge. The potential for flight existed long before Orville and Wilbur took off, you know, what, 1903 or 1906 or something like that? Didn't the potential of flight, hadn't it existed for a long time?
Sure.
How come it waited till 1903 or 4 or whatever it was? Because it wasn't a Wilbur and an Orville, huh? I guess. The potential for harnessing electricity existed long before Thomas Edison made a light bulb, right? What is potential for me and for you? That's the point, see? The potential is huge. That's what Paul is saying. And it's so grand that Paul knows we won't get it. So he prays for them they will get it. Because it doesn't come to us just naturally. I want to close with this. And it was two verses that I hope that you'll really nail down. We got to read Philemon, though. Got to read Philemon 6. If you can find Hebrews, you can find Philemon. It's just a one little page book just before Hebrews. And I want you to pay attention to verse 6, please. This is just awesome. Listen to this. I pray that you may be active in sharing your... I pray that you be witnessing and be sharing the gospel. Why? So that you will have a full knowledge or full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Isn't that what you long for your sons and your daughters to know and gain from you cheaply? Don't you long for Lindsay? Don't you long for Catherine to get that step up and get this stuff free? Don't you long for Jessica and Rachel and Holly and Heather and your kids? How many? Four boys? Five boys?
Seven.
Seven boys. Don't you long for your children to get something from you cheap?
Yes.
Oh, it doesn't cost them too much? It doesn't create scars for them? Our Father's saying, listen, I want you to be out there sharing your faith so you'll comprehend everything that God's got for you. Isn't that what it's saying? Well, it's so, what God has for us is so spirit-perceived that Paul has to pray, and we have to pray. And we also got to close, but I got to show these two verses. I found one the other day, and I pointed it out to you, but it's just such a powerful thing that I got to run it by you again. Luke chapter 9, verse 45. Eric, don't you long for people who come to recovery? That they'll get it, you know? They'll get it. You're teaching a child to read, and you want them to get it, you know? Marilyn's teaching little Isaac to read sometimes when he comes over. And he's six, honey? And he one word at a time, you know? One word. And you just want him to, you want him to get it. You want him to connect. And here is a verse for anybody who teaches. And all of you teach. You all teach. We all teach. Mm-hmm. Listen carefully. That's not all I'm saying. That's what the text says, okay? Luke 9:44. Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The spirit of man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them. So did not grasp it. And they were afraid to ask about it. Okay? Now, I did show you that verse before. The point is that the people you are longing to enter into greater truth and greater freedom, God has got to do that for them. I can't do it. I can't put enough pressure on them. I can't argue them into it. I can't give them powerful, logical arguments from the mind that are going to say, they're going to make the lights come on. I can't do it. We can't. It's not within our realm to do it. It's hidden from them. Didn't grasp it. Okay, come over to Luke 18. This is where I was last time when I got lost. And I failed to turn my page and talk to you about beginning in verse 31. Jesus took this is Luke 18, 31. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, they were going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, kill him, and on the third day he will rise again. Sing good, dear. What does it say in verse 34?
34? The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about.
I tell my grandkids. I tell them. Please turn the lights off. And I tell them. And I tell them. And I tell them again, you know. You tell your kids, please close the screen door. You know, please don't put your fingers on the screen. You use the metal frame, you know. I mean, real basic stuff, you know. Don't push a hole in the screen, kid. When are they going to get it, you know? I don't think that's too hard, you know. That's a small thing. You're all involved in teaching people. You're all involved in loving people toward greater maturity. And it's just so helpful to me to realize that growth will take place on God's timetable, not my timetable. Because things are hidden from them, you know? They don't get it. I probably don't get it. I get it more than I did 10 years ago. But we're all in the process of being shaped to be like Christ. And there's no quick fixes. There's no easy, quick answers. There's no... You know, the Spirit of God has to be our teacher. They didn't get it. Now, I think, duh, what's not to understand here? Of course, I have 2,000 years of church history, and I have a New Testament that these guys didn't have. They were writing it. They were living it. And I think, why didn't they understand? He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They'll be mocked, insulted, spit on, flogged, killed, third day rise again. What is unclear about that, you know? And yet, they didn't get it. So that gives me encouragement. I hope it gives you perspective that we are dependent, we are needy, and And the Lord is loving us toward Himself, to a greater awareness of Himself. And that's why Paul prays, because it's something that depends on God. Hey, let's pray. Father, we know that we're dependent upon You. You are the awesome giver who gives the very best gift, Yourself, to us. Bit by bit, as the years go by, we sense more our own neediness, our own sinfulness, our own pettiness and greed and selfishness and fear. And oh, Father, deliver us from ourselves to love You and enjoy You as life unfolds. Bless in the hour to follow. We pray as we sing to You that You would be pleased. And we pray, Father, that we would worship You. We would ascribe to You greatness and love and patience and kindness. And we would lose ourselves in You, in the awareness that You are God. And You know exactly what You're doing. Even if we long for people around us to be saved, people around us to grow, people around us to experience more and trust You for more, Father, help us to trust You for more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.